We present Clement Freud, Peter Jones, Ian Carmichael, and Amy MacDonald in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we are pleased to welcome to the programme this week Ian Carmichael, who's very courageously come along to do battle with our three experienced players. Well, Amy MacDonald comes back after quite a long break. She's not as experienced as the other two, but she knows she can always keep her end up with our two experts. I'm going to ask... Oh, thank you. We're going to ask them to speak, if they can, as usual, on some unlikely subject without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. And we'll begin the show this week with Clement Freud. And Clement, the subject is checks. Can you talk on that for 60 seconds, starting now?
Checks is a ministerial pet name for a country house, also known as checkers to most other people. And it was left to the nation by the Czechoslovakian Society of Friends, who felt that high-ranking government officials ought to have somewhere where...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Absolute rubbish. You're not allowed to say these things about checkers, which was actually left to the nation by Sir Winston Churchill himself.
It certainly wasn't left by the Czechoslovakian
Society of Friends. No.
I'm surprised it took so long to
challenge. I'd like to second that, Nicholas, because it's always called checkers, actually.
Would you like to make a joint challenge, then, Amy?
Yes. All right.
Anyway, Peter got in first. I agree with your challenge, Peter, of deviation. You get a point for that, and you take over the subject of checks, and there are 41 seconds left, starting now.
Well, there are so many different kinds of checks. There are ones that bounce, and others that should never be worn with anything spotted or striped. Or with flowers. And then there are all those people who come from...
Amy MacDonald has challenged you.
That's absolute rubbish.
It may be rubbish, but it wasn't deviating from the subject, Amy.
Oh, yeah,
it?
Because you, in actual fact, you can wear spots with checks.
But that's what he said.
It's terribly fashionable.
That's what he said. And there are
no, he said this should never be worn with spots.
Ah, yes. Which should never be worn, but a lot of people wear things that should never be worn.
That's what I mean.
I don't think that, in all fairness, Amy, as much as I'd love to give you the subject, he was actually deviating from the subject on the card. So, a wrong challenge, I'm afraid. He keeps the subject, having gained a point for a wrong challenge, and there are 35 seconds on checks, Peter, starting now.
As I was going to say, because they should be thrown away before they get worn. Otherwise, it looks very tatty and shabby and doesn't give an impression of being well-dressed. Now, all these people who come from Prague and Brno...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of people.
Yes, I did repeat people, I admit.
Yes, well done. So Clement Freud has a correct challenge, a point for that, and he takes over the subject again of checks with 23 seconds left, starting now.
There was a time when you used to go to your bank and receive a checkbook, and each single page had a stamp on it, which was worth 2p, or cost that sum of money. But those days are completely over. You now ask for a cheque, and it has nothing, no imprint, just a sort of vague circle which shows that someone, somewhere, paid tax.
Round, Peter Jones and Clement Freud both scored points, and they're equal in the lead at the end. And, of course, for those who don't already realise it, the whistle tells us 60 seconds is up, and whoever speaks then gains an extra point. Peter Jones, will you begin the next round? The subject is buying a second-hand car. Would you talk on that for just 1 minute, starting now?
Well, buying a second-hand car is a very different experience from selling a second-hand car. And if you ever make a purchase of one of these vehicles, and I guarantee, drive just down the road to the first place where they're selling them, and you'll find that the people's description of it does not tally in any way with the one given you by the salesman where you bought it, if you know what I mean.
Ian MacDonald has challenged.
Oh, well, it was obvious, wasn't it? He was stuttering all over the place. About to.
He was stuttering.
You were about to. Yes.
Well, I was about to, and I just... I yes. lulled you, and you fell for it, you
well,
see.
Well, what is it called?
You anticipated.
Yes. Yes.
She anticipated my...
She meant you right.
No, it was hesitation.
She did it beautifully as well, and she gets a point for a correct challenge, and she gets the subject now of buying a second-hand car, Amy. 32 seconds left, starting now.
Now, this is a very dodgy thing to do, because you never know who has had the car before. And this is terribly important to know who's been driving this car, because there's some very bad drivers on the road.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of because.
Yes. I'm afraid he let it go the second time, but the third time he felt he had to challenge. So I have to give it to him. 20 seconds left, Peter, buying a second-hand car starting now.
The first thing to do is to take the bonnet.
Ian Carmichael has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, nice to hear from you, Ian.
Well, I know you seem... going very, very fast. I'm not used to it at this point.
I'm really not used to it at all. I know. Don't worry. You'll still be in there fighting with the others, because they never give any quarter. You may be a newcomer, but they won't give you an inch.
Thank you.
So you've got in there with a good challenge. 15 seconds to go. The subject is buying a second-hand car, starting now.
Well, I would have thought that people...
Ian Clement Freud has challenged.
I'd like to give him an inch.
You almost deserve a point for an amusing challenge. You have given him an inch, and actually given him a point, and which is much better in this game. And there are 13 seconds, Ian, for buying a second-hand car starting now.
Surprised I am that Peter Jones didn't go on for longer than he was threatening to do on this subject, because many moons ago he played a second-hand car salesman in a film with me, another chap who was playing another second-hand car salesman.
Clement Freud got in just before the whistle, I'm afraid.
Chap.
Yes.
His usual place.
Yes. Oh, dear. Well, we've got to be fair, haven't you? Right, Clement, you very cleverly got in. There's a half a second to go. Buying a second-hand car, starting now.
Hello.
So Clement spotted the repetition there and got in just before the whistle, gained an extra point, has a lead over Peter Jones at the end of that round. Amy McDonald, Ian Carmichael trailing a little. Amy, will you begin? The subject which Ian Messett has thought of, I know specially for you, is why I am lovable. Would you talk on that for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, the reason I'm lovable is quite simple, really. I'm a very nice person. And not only that, but I'm quite delectable, lovely to look at, with an effervescent personality, and I'm also...
Peter Jones has come to your rescue.
Yes, I felt somehow that Amy was about to hesitate.
Amy, I must let Peter have his challenge, and there are 42 seconds, Peter, for you to tell us now why I am lovable, starting now.
Well, I don't really want this subject because I feel it's so inappropriate. I don't feel that I am. And
Amy McDonald is challenged.
Yes, well, it's not true, is it? He is lovable.
So you think it's deviation?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, we all think Peter's lovable.
Yes.
So, Amy, I agree with your challenge. You have the subject back again. And you have 34
Can
seconds
I get
on...
a point for that?
You get a point as well.
Oh
yes, oh yes. You get a point every time you win a challenge.
Yes,
and every time anybody wins one against you.
Yeah.
Have you played the game before?
Yes, but I forgot about that.
Yes, all right. 34 seconds, why I'm lovable, Amy, starting now.
Another reason is, of course, I'm terribly great fun.
Ian Carmichael
Well, I think that both of them so far have got hold of the wrong end of the stick. The question that Nicholas Parson has posed is, why am I so lovable? And it is Nicholas Parsons that is speaking, therefore we should be saying why Mr. Nicholas Parsons is lovable.
All right. It's not exactly a correct challenge, but I would like to hear you talk about it, so...
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
I'll give you a point.
It's quite unfair to ask someone to talk a whole minute on something like that.
Well, a few seconds will do before he gets challenged. And there are actually 30 seconds to say why I'm lovable, starting now.
Well, as Peter Jones has said, really, it'll only take about a third of that time. But frankly, I don't think that you are all that lovable, Nicholas. I don't want to hold it against you. Many friends of mine have said on previous occasions that you are lovable. I know Peter Jones once told me.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of Peter Jones.
Yes, we can't have him repeated too often, can we? Clement Freud, you have the subject now. There are 16 seconds left. Would you tell us why I am lovable, starting now?
I think basically it's my feet. I have these incredibly well-formed toes, adorned with nails which are cut to the quick, very slowly, each Tuesday. And then there's my hair.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Hair, it's devious. It's nothing to do with the facts.
You mean his lack of hair could hardly make him
nonsense?
Well, no, I don't think so. Yes, I don't want to be personal, but I mean he's...
You are being personal, so you better keep...
Oh, I see. Yes. Well,
how do I judge on this, ladies and gentlemen? Do you think... I can't judge. I'm not going to judge on whether...
What's the challenge?
Clement Freud, the challenge is deviation, whether you're lovable with your particular quantity of hair.
I didn't say that.
But that's what you conveyed, Clement.
No, I said, then there is my hair.
And that's what I object to, because there isn't.
And if you say, then there is my hair, and the subject is why I'm lovable, we must connect the two, otherwise you're admitting that you're being devious.
Which no longer grows from my scalp.
But it's still got to do with the fact why I'm lovable. I'm going to put this to the audience because I refuse to judge it. If you agree with Peter Jones's challenge and you think that Clement Freud is not particularly lovable with or without a great quantity of hair, would you all cheer? If you disagree with his challenge and think that Clement Freud is lovable, would you all boo? And will you all do it together now? Think Clement Freud is so lovable. Everyone in the audience, they're terrified of him, aren't they? They all think you're lovable, Clement. And you have a point from the audience, and you have 2 seconds to go on why I'm lovable starting now.
My left knee.
Well, Clement Freud's lovable qualities kept him going, so he increased his lead at the end of that round. Ian Carmichael, your turn to begin, and the subject is Stockholm. Would you talk about Stockholm for 60 seconds, if you can, starting now?
As most people know, Stockholm is the capital of Sweden. Now, in the middle 50s, I was engaged by the J. Arthur Rank Organization to make films for them, and on one occasion I was taken over to Stockholm with a party of 6 other actors and actresses. On arrival, we were taken to a hotel where we changed, had a bath, and went down to dinner. When I got there, I ordered oysters because I thought they sounded rather nice. They were the largest ones that I had ever had.
Clement Freud's challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Oysters don't talk.
They sounded rather nice.
How yes. can they sound
they
nice?
They couldn't. No, they could smell or feel or taste, but they could hardly sound. There are 28 seconds on Stockholm with you, Clement, starting now.
As most of you know, Stockholm is the capital city of Sweden.
Amy MacDonald has challenged.
Repetition. Because Ian's already said
yes, but
all
you,
that.
I know, but you can repeat what anybody else has said, but you are not allowed to repeat what you say yourself.
Well, that'd be terribly boring if somebody speaks for 30 minutes on something and then the next 30
well,
seconds...
Well, you could if you wanted
next,
to.
The next person repeats for another 30 seconds.
It would be
seconds.
Terribly boring, but there's nothing in the rules to say that you can't do it, and nobody's yet done it. It would be very amusing if they tried. It would be very difficult to repeat exactly what someone else has said, wouldn't it? There are 24 seconds, Clement, Stockholm with you, starting now.
I was privileged some years ago to be sent over there by a television company in order to do a programme on Stockholm British Week. And it was an extraordinary experience because the only thing you saw which was remotely English, Welsh, Scottish or Irish were old humbugs and licorice all sorts, which is really a...
Oh, well, Clement, you increased your lead at the end of the round, and Peter Jones is going to begin the next round, and the subject is quotations. Peter, will you quote or speak on quotations, 60 seconds, starting now?
Life is hard, women are difficult, children easy to make, courage, my friend. That is one of my favourite quotations. I can see it's gone very well with you. And another one that my uncle used to quote in moments of dire distress. He used to mutter, "Farewell, baskets, the grapes are gathered." I don't know quite who it was who first said it. But there are other famous quotations, like Oscar Wilde, when he was dying on his deathbed, he looked round at the hideous wallpaper in these impoverished lodgings and said, "One of us will have to go." And I often quote these famous personalities of the past because it gives one a certain cachet, even if one hasn't read all the books that famous authors have written, one can learn some of the quotations. Thought they'd all gone home.
we were hanging on every word and every second because we could feel you slowly and sort of losing grip of the subject, and we wondered whether you would hold on for the full 60 seconds. Did you feel that yourself?
Yes, there was a sadistic element I felt in your attitude.
Well, you got an extra point for starting with a subject and finishing with a subject, and first person to do it for quite some time, Peter. Congratulations. You've increased your lead. No, you haven't got a lead. You've increased your position. You were in second place and you're still in second place. Then Freud's still in the lead.
For a lot of effort for nothing, it seems to me.
It might pay off later.
Ah, good.
Amy MacDonald and Ian Carmichael are a little way behind. Amy MacDonald, would you begin the next round? The subject is My Scene. Would you talk on My Scene in 60 seconds, starting now?
My scene was the most important scene in the whole play. That's the reason they asked me to do it, you see. And I came through the French windows out onto the garden. And there, sitting on a tree trunk, was my lover. I was wearing a long white dress, I carried a yellow parasol, I had frills around my neck, and my hair was up with a thing on top. And the reason for the scene was that...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, she said, and that kind of leads me to feel that she was hesitating.
Yes, I don't think
it was entirely intentional.
No, I wish I'd seen the scene, because having described it, she got out there with a picture. She didn't know what it was all about, did she?
Exactly, right, yes.
Well, Peter, you've challenged correctly. You take over the subject, and there are 27 seconds on My Scene, starting now.
Just to try and test your theory, My Scene was involved this lover sitting on a tree trunk, and I was wearing something on my head and a pink parasol, and he was sitting there without any...
Amy MacDonald challenged me.
That was hesitation.
Oh, he definitely
it?
Was.
Oh,
yes.
Definitely see, was.
That's why people don't repeat whatever someone else has said. It's not easy, is it?
No, it isn't. No.
Amy, you have the subject back. There are 11 seconds. My Scene, starting now.
The reason for the scene, of course, was that my lover...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition.
Yes, she's still...
She said, before.
Yes. She still can't remember what her scene was. Did you remember your lines ever in that scene?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
I was very good, actually.
At forgetting your lines?
No.
Oh. 6 seconds, Clement. My Scene, starting now.
My...
Peter Jones has...
Hesitation.
Five seconds, Peter, for you on My Scene, starting now.
Once in the garden, I threw my arms around her.
Were you in the same scene, by any chance?
No, unfortunately, we weren't. No, we weren't even in the same play.
I wonder sometimes
if we're in the same profession.
Ian Carmichael, will you begin the next round? The subject is what I said as I left the house. Can you remember or just talk about the subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
I don't know what time I shall be back, is a thing that many people say. Sometimes they... go further than that, and they say, I shall not be coming back at all, ever.
Amy MacDonald is challenged.
Deviation, because the actual question is what I said, not what anybody else said.
Well, that's quite a good challenge. He also...
I think she wins.
They do that.
I think she wins.
Oh, good. You helped me out of a difficult spot, because you weren't in... truthfully. Anyway, Amy, you have a point for a great challenge, and you've got now 5 beautiful rounded points. I didn't...
Which is a novelty in itself, isn't it?
Oh, dear me, that was just unconscious association, obviously. Amy, you have the subject, and you have, which is what I said as I left the house, and the... Stop shaking your message. I can't... That's better. Now you start at the clock. There are 46 seconds, Amy, starting now.
What I said when I left the house was really absolutely nothing, because, you see, there was nobody there to say anything to. So if I had, there would have been something a bit strange wrong with me. Although sometimes I do speak to myself. Not very often, and never, almost never... Oh!
Peter challenged.
Well, there was a bit of everything there, I think.
You're right. Amy, may I give you a little tip? The thing is that always keep going, even if you know you've made a mistake, because sometimes these three chaps can be very gallant and allow you to keep going.
Yeah.
Sometimes they allow each other to keep going, you know. So never draw attention, otherwise you're bound to lose.
No.
So Peter got in there, and there are 27 seconds on what I said as I left the house, Peter, starting now.
It was the workhouse, and I told them exactly what they could do with their Christmas pudding. And as I slammed the gate, walking down the road with my whole belongings in a little old handkerchief hung on the end of a stick, I toddled off into the distance, hoping that somebody would give me a round of applause, but alas, they were few and far between. I went past another place further along.
That was a fine bit of gamesmanship. You were drying up, so you asked for a round of applause from the audience.
No.
They didn't play your game. They waited, and you nearly didn't get it to the end. Anyway, Peter, you've increased your position, the number of points, I should say. You're the same position, but you're back to where you were a time ago, 1 point behind Clement Freud.
I'm always 1 point behind Clement Freud.
No, a little while ago, you were 6 points behind him.
Well, I mean, that's the best I ever get.
Peter, will you begin the next round? The subject is reason. Can you talk on that for 60 seconds, starting now?
Oh, how I wish Kenneth Williams were here, because it would be a wonderful subject for him to discuss the age of reason, which started, I suppose, with Descartes, and then Dr. Johnson had something to do with it, and all these people did not accept the teachings of the church and wrote scientific...
Amy MacDonald has challenged.
Hesitation,
to me, actually, Amy. There are 41 seconds left on reason, Amy, with you starting now.
There is a reason for practically anything in this world. The reason flowers grow is because the rain falls down. The reason grass grows is because more rain.
Maybe in the same spot as rain.
Clement, you challenged.
Rain, was it?
You have a point for a correct challenge and 27 seconds on reason starting now.
One of the most extraordinary pieces of failure to see reason was perpetrated in the breathalyzer legislation, because anyone who had any idea of what it was about would have appreciated not that 10% of the population drink and drive, but that 90 out of 100 do so when they're sober. So what should have happened is... Can I just go on?
Yes, must yes.
I mean, what really should have happened was the government should have looked at this and realized that 90% of all accidents are caused by sober drivers. And had they banned sober drivers from the road, this would have effectively reduced accidents by 90% and kept the road safe for us 10% drunken drivers.
I don't know why you applaud such devious thoughts, but anyway, you kept going. You have a point for speaking where the whistle went. You've increased your position. I'm afraid we have no more time. So it remains for me to tell you the final situation. Ian Carmichael coming to play the game for the first time, doing extremely well, but alas, could only finish in fourth place. A little way behind, Amy MacDonald coming back after a long absence, went through the game with flying colours, but her colours only brought her into third place. Peter Jones, who gained his colours and his spurs and everything else a long time ago, did very, very well, but didn't quite beat our winner, who once again was Clement Freud. Hope that you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. From all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.